Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Well, welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and we are delighted to bring you interesting guests as well as gospel, inspirational, and patriotic music with a definite Western flair. I am so happy you are able to join us, especially during this busy Christmas season. We have with us today one of my dearest cowgirl sister friends, who is one of the most precious and unique human beings you would ever have the pleasure of meeting. And I'd like to kick off her segment of the show with a Christmas song that she wrote, and I was honored to be the first one to record. When she wrote this song, she said she was wondering, what if the three wise men had been cowboys? So let's listen to her version of Following on That Star.
The night over the hill, round the bend, keep it in sight. Three shadows moving slowly o'er the desert. We left our camp behind for heading west. Keep that silver gleam. Another hill before we rest. Why do we ride over the wide open prairie? Why do we stray so far away from our corral? But there's a new boss on the range, and there's one thing I know for sure: a cowboy can't go wrong following on that star. Thank you. trail, for who can tell where it ends? We're searchers for a babe sent from heaven. We've brought along the sweetest smelling sage. We've got a special silver studded saddle, a golden lasso for the king of every age. That's why we ride over the wide open prairie. We got the word, he's gonna ride herd beyond the rim. Well, the boss has given orders, he's taking up new quarters, and we're riding for the best by far. 'Cause a cowboy can't go wrong following on that star. Following on that star.
Well, my guest today is a very special lady. Her awards are numerous, ranging from Female Performer of the Year with the Academy of Western Artists to Western Swing Group of the Year and Western Swing Album of the Year with the Western and Music Association, Wrangler Western Heritage Horizons Award, and even a Grammy certificate for her participation on the Grammy Award-winning children's album by the Writers in the Sky, Woody's Roundup, as Jessie the Yodeling Cowgirl. She is a delightful bundle of energy. In fact, family and friends have been quoted as saying, trying to get Devin to be still is like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree, which I thought was adorable. But I think what I love the most about Devin is her amazing huge heart and her devotion to helping others. And we're going to talk more about that today. But right now I am honored to welcome to our show Miss Devin Dawson.
Howdy! Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! From Fort Worth, Texas, Miss Devin Dawson.
well, goodness.
What was your first year at the Western Music Association, Devin?
Oh, 1998, and that's when I met you. We were both youngins then.
Yes, we were. We were. And it was so sweet because I barely knew Devin, and I was going to be heading to Fort Worth to do the be part of the Academy of Western Artists shindig they have there in Fort Worth. And she offered for me to stay in her home, and I actually came in early, and I think I stayed like a week with you, didn't I?
Oh, it was great.
And, it was
we had a jam session.
We did, and she taught me that I was just fooling around with the guitar and trying to figure out what the heck I was doing and trying to learn it, and she taught me all kinds of cool swing chords. And I think what I remember the most, though, is we talked a lot about the Lord and about being entertainers and serving the Lord and what's all involved in that. And, it was just so nurturing.
You and I live miles apart. You've always been in the far west, like California and now Arizona, and I've always said, where the west begins, by the way. Yes. Anyway, it's true. It's where the west begins. And but it just was a blessing to find a sister in the Lord first thing out of the box at my very first WMA. I mean, whenever you're new in a guild, which is truly, that's our guild, it's one of the major organizations that support and promote Western music and the artists and the recordings, and they also have an award system which encourages, you know, art and recording. And but to meet you there, it was just a real moment. And you know, before I go somewhere, I always want to ask the Lord for His appointments and to make me a blessing and help me be a praise to His glory. And when I don't concentrate on that, I get pretty self-centered, and so do we all do, you know. But you are just a refreshment to me, and you always have been.
Oh, thank you. And you're talking about that, I think, as an entertainer. When I call it when the Lord has to take me to the woodshed every so often. because you do. You know, if you're not, if you don't stay in the Word and stay, you know, connected with Him just in conversation on a daily basis, and it's real easy to get caught up with the trappings of the entertainment world and think you're all that. And, you know, the Lord has to smack us down and go, yeah, it's not about you.
That's true. It's so true. When I mentor kids and even adults, but especially I say this to kids, when youngsters start to perform, they're very internal and self, they have no confidence, and they're scared, and some of them, they may memorize a song, but they don't smile at your audience. There's no relaxation. And I tell them, you know, first I say, why are you doing this? And if it's the way, reason I think it is because you have a gift that God's giving you, and that gift is joy and love, and this is your way of expressing it. So you must love your music, and you must love your audience, and you're going to give that gift to them. That's, each of us are totally unique, called to be entertainers, and it's no good comparing your entertainment style with somebody else's, because there's only one you, and the world doesn't need two Ernest Tubbs or Ariana Grandes, but, you know, it's totally that unique person that you are as you bring that gift. So that's
fabulous, fabulous advice, Devin. Well, speaking of children, you started performing at a really young age. You want to kind of bring us up to speed on how you got started in music and what your life was like as a child?
Well, my dad was an extremely talented professional musician, and he had many combos that he, and he loved travel. He loved the West, loved to live in Texas and Arizona. But there, he was from Missouri, and he was a child of the Depression era. He was born in 1918, and I was born late in life for him, in his middle age. And you know, he actually went through the Depression, and he was frugal, and, you know, he always had an extra engine, enough parts in the trunk of our old cars to where he could actually fix anything that went wrong as we did the traveling musician lifestyle. But anyway, by the time I was 9 years old, he saw that I had interest and talent. I had an ear for singing. I had natural rhythm. So I had inherited his musical ability. And also my mother was a highly talented singer, dancer, writer. Gosh, she could do a lot of stuff, and I didn't get to know her personally. They split when I was little, and Dad was the parent that we stayed with. So me and my sister Tracy were full-blood sisters. But anyway, the music started really, I knew from an early age, itty-bitty. I mean, it was 3 or 4 years old, I went around making up songs in gibberish. I had one particular that I called Mexico Boom, and I sang it in my idea of what Spanish would be, which is hilarious. I don't know why I was speaking in tongues at 3 or 4 years old. But I called it Mexico Boom, and it was in my idea of what Spanish was, and it was to the tune of The Man on the Flying Trapeze. So they actually have old recordings of me singing the thing, but and it never was the same way twice, Belinda, believe me.
I can imagine.
But, yeah, really. By the age of 9, he gave me my first guitar, and I really took to it. My first instrument, though, was a harmonica the year before. And that was fun, but the guitar, I was enraptured. Now, when I was little, I thought I wanted to be a pianist, but we had a traveling lifestyle, and we had to keep our possessions light, so there was just no room for a piano or a horse. I would have loved to have had a horse.
Either one. So you literally traveled with your father and your sister from the time you were a child in a three-piece Western string band.
Well, I didn't enter the stage work till I was 12 or 13. But, yeah, prior to that, we traveled as a unit just because Dad wanted to keep his family together, and he'd seen through previous marriages and other families how it wrecked the family to spend long times apart when he needed to travel with his work. So we had the gypsy lifestyle pretty much, but we pretty much tread all over the West. I was good at geography. I was the map reader in the car, you know. With Mom, I mean, he married Mom, the woman that I knew as my mom. He married her when I was 3, and that was Olive, and so she was Mom, and so the four of us we hit the road more than once.
That's So this kind of leads into our next song. So your dad was at that point your trail boss, was he not?
Yeah, there you go.
So let's listen to Devin's song, Trail Boss.
Thank you.
My lonely way lies o'er the hill.
I love knowing that we're all in the master's tally book. It's awesome. That's an awesome concept.
That was the first song I ever wrote. It was a Western song, but prior to that, I had written like about 20 songs about the Lord, very much deep in scripture, in my walk with him. And they would come out, you know, whenever I was really affected by a certain teaching. And so when I felt his call to really concentrate on Western music, which I have a deep love for, the first song I ever produced with that was that song, and how he is the cowboy. He's the one we all follow. And I never mentioned his name in that song at all. God has to speak to your heart in that song to realize that you got to look up and see him. He's right there for you.
Well, it was beautifully written, and I really enjoy that. So tell me, What was your life, your Christian walk life as a young person? Was that part of your family's routine, and was that something
it wasn't.
You found as a teenager? Okay, so tell us about that.
Yeah, later. My father and mom pretty much were agnostic. They had hard times, and had, especially Dad, and he found that he couldn't trust Christians because people hurt him, and he was a victim of abuse in the name of people who went to church. And isn't that our enemy's greatest weapon, to take people who are being hypocritical, and then, you know, you can't trust what God's word says or what he does because the people were evil. So it's so important how we live our lives. But the Lord took mercy on me as a teenager in my mid-teens. It's always so, you know, it's hard when you go through those mid-teens, and I would just feel so lonely. I wanted God. I was aware he was there. I'd kind of been involved with some people in my early teens who went to church, and I kind of had an acceptance that God expected something of my life, but I didn't know what it was. So at night, there were some nights when I would pray in the dark on my bed before I'd fall asleep. Tears would stream out of my eyes, and I'd reach up in the dark and say, "Where are you?" But see, my feelings were iron. I mean, I didn't know him, but I really wanted him. So when the time was right, in his view, and we don't get everything we want the minute we have it. But I mean, the minute we want it, we don't always get it. But he is faithful, and we settled for in my later teens, mid to late teens, we settled in a West Texas town called Brownfield. It was just south of Lubbock, Texas, in the Panhandle, and it's actually kind of a bleak little area to live in. It's like Llano Estacado, the plains, there are cotton fields and wind and dust, and only two seasons a year. You know, you really don't get autumn and spring. But and yet in that little town, I met Jesus. You know, I actually started reading the books of Grace Livingston Hill because I loved romances, and I was just the right age for those books. And I discovered it by accident, on the shelves at the library. And in the books, these books were written like 1911 through 1920-something. And she knows, because the Lord has told her in heaven, that she was responsible for me coming to the Lord, that it was through her books that I learned what the gospel was. And she would weave it into a wonderful story. And I just devoured book after book after book. So finally, one night I decided to do what one of the characters did, and I asked the Lord in my heart. And he did.
Wow.
He actually came in my heart in that little dusty West Texas town in the bathroom at midnight.
While you're reading a love story.
No, really. I just finished it. And then he showed me signs following things that showed. I mean, I was totally ignorant. I wasn't taught in Scripture. All I knew was that Jesus is God and that he died for my sins, and that he actually came in my heart. You know, that I didn't know. I wasn't. Good heavens, I was as much a heathen as anything. And that I was 17. And I will never forget that night. When I know the date, like November 17th of 1974. So within a month, he started giving me a heart to pray for a husband, which is weird. I mean, a lot of women would go like, "Why would you want that?" And a home. But this was just part of his plan for me. And the man in my life wasn't my boyfriend, but within a month, God pointed at that Chuck Dawson. Chuck had loved me since I was 16, but he wouldn't say a word because I was too little. I was too young, you know. So by this time, I was almost 18. I was just a month from my 18th birthday. So God just moved us right along, and within 6 months, I had married Chuck, and we're still married. We're celebrating 40 years next May.
Wow. That is
that.
God is so good. God is so good. Well, we're going to talk more about your life, but before we do that, I would like you to set us up for the Ballad of Mr. Elmer. What was this song?
Yes. I have a friend who's a performer. He's a cowboy poet, and he's descended from Elmer Moncrief in Hopkins County, which is in East Texas. And he came to me and said, "Would you help me write a song about my ancestor?" I think it's his great-grandfather. But the song describes the life of Mr. Elmer, they called him, and he was a man who was an upstanding man, but he was an immigrant from Scotland. And so Monty Moncrief Teal, who I know, doesn't. He's not far from his Scottish roots, but evidently they came to Hopkins County pretty much from Scotland. We had a lot of immigration into Texas direct from the old countries because of Galveston, the big harbor, and we had a lot of immigration. So it didn't all come over land like from through the Appalachians. But yeah.
Well, cool. Well, let's listen to Ballad of Mr. Elmer.
Okay.
Table, which marks the family tree. The Moncriefs came from Scotland. They crossed the roguish sea. Their people came to Texas seeking freedom at war's end. The blue and gray are history, but the Moncriefs start again. In 1897, the Hopkins County Clay the fires of freedom as he toddled off to play. He loved the land as patriots do, for that's where it began. And at his father's knee he learned to be a cattleman. They called him Mr. Elmer, a hero and a pard. He was a frugal Scotsman and a man of high regard. Moncrief lived his life for what was kind and wise, and I love to see the freedom in his eyes. In 1917, the Great War had begun, and Uncle Sam was calling out to all his Texas sons. Among them, Mr. Elmer went to serve a world away with a heart that burned for freedom and returned to Texas clay. He wrote letters home from Paris to his mother, not some girl, but he returned to marry a lovely Texas belle. Her name was Lily Carpenter. She was a lady without peer. He built her a cottage where they lived for 60 years. Oh, they called him Mr. Elmer. He was a hero and a pard. He was a valiant Scotsman. For freedom he stood guard. Mr. Elmer lived his life for what was kind and wise, and I'd love to see the freedom in his eyes. The rodeo committee in the town of Sulphur Springs requested that he'd take Old Glory out in saddle ring and post her proudly in the Independence Day parade. For 30 years the crowd admired the handsome team they made. Then came the day they gathered to pay their deep respects, as young and old remembered his patriotic trek. A Highland piper played to signify his race was run. It seemed a voice was saying, saddle up and ride, my son. Oh, they called him Mr. Elmer, a hero and a pard. Loyal Texas Scotsman has gone to his reward. Mr. Elmer lived his life for what was kind and wise, and I love to see the freedom.
That I, you know, one of the things I love about Western music are songs like this that just really capture our heritage and just really reflect all that's good about our country and this wonderful, the backbone, the people that make up the backbone of this country. So good job.
And they are many. Thank you. All across the land, there are so many people. I'm a deep admirer of the Western way of life and the people who do this and who trust God for their land and their cattle, who ride horses, God didn't actually put me in the lifestyle where I could do that on ag land. My precious husband, Chuck, is a pilot, born and raised in Fort Worth, part of Fort Worth history. He's a fifth-generation Texan. So my sons are sixth-generation Texans. And I'm a Westerner in heart. And I was born, like, near the terminus of the, what trail was that? The Shawnee Trail. I was born near St. Joseph, Missouri. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny. I've been able recently to trace my ancestors, and they're around Robinson, Kansas, on the mother's side, and on the father's side, around Lake of the Ozarks, both of them back to the late 1700s. And then I've even got to go further back with the ancestry tracing. It's really cool. I think it's neat, We're all part and parcel of the country.
We are. So now, speaking of family, you and Chuck got married, and you were what, 18 when you got married, or 19?
Yeah,
You got married, and then you had twin boys, and so I'm assuming we're no longer traveling with the family band when you and Chuck
well,
got married.
My parents settled in Artesia, New Mexico, and I married Chuck and moved to Fort Worth. So Fort Worth has been my home all my adult life, and so I'd go back and visit. And I love eastern New Mexico. I really love the land of enchantment. It's a place of deserts and Chihuahua desert. And in fact, one of my favorite songs speaks to that. It's a Marty Robbins song that it speaks of the beauty of the desert and how God, has created these animals. And anyway, there's a whole story about that. The song is Man Walks Among Us. And I met Jesse Robertson, my duo partner, over this song. It's kind of neat because we've won the WMA Group of the Year Award this year, and we started the duo in, like, 07. But in 06, I met Jesse, and he wanted to audition with the Cowtown Opry, which I'm the talent coordinator for. And he walks in, and we're in the Opry house, and he says, I said, well, sing a song, And so he starts with this song, Man Walks Among Us. And I nearly fell over because he had no idea, only the Lord knew, that that was like one of my most favorite songs of all time. And I got a lump in my throat because he sang it so pretty. And it just goes way back with us that we sort of got bonded in that moment. And the duo works, we got good harmony and we really play off of each other well. And we've got this battle of the sexes thing going on. And it's just hilarious. People love our duo.
It is. And one of the things I love about the story of you and Jesse is that when he became involved or decided to get involved with the Cowtown Opry, he was widowed and he was in a really dark place, and he was trying to struggle out of that dark place. And so y'all getting together just really helped him.
I will say that God operated because Jesse responded to his voice. Jesse had an actual voice experience with God. He was alone in his house in deep depression. He battled cancer, and his wife was gone. A bunch of the infrastructure of his wife and his own family had died. He had no kids. He never had kids. So pretty much he had his church family, and that was it, and his job. And he was sitting there all alone in his house with the doors locked, and he hears a voice speaking to him, Jesse, do you want to live or die? Because right now you're choosing to die. And he was way overweight. He always struggled with that, but he was way overweight. And he stopped and he thought, and he knew it was God's voice, and he said, I think I want to live, Lord. And within 10 months' time, God started life around. I mean, he met me and Chuck and the Cowtown Opry, and God called him. He put it on his heart. He knew that he needed to follow this. So it's just been a wonderful thing. God has just built up my faith so much with seeing the way he's used this Western music. And when the Lord called Chuck and me to do this, we were lonely one day and kind of a little sad, thinking our music was going away and that this next generation wouldn't know it. And within a month of that moment where Chuck and I felt that way, God started moving us into the place where we could start doing something about it. And it was just amazing how he's brought me along in steps, even to being Jesse's voice. That was another call, another thing where he went before me and showed me to be somewhere, and I had no idea why.
Isn't that amazing? Well, I think we should listen. And I think what you sent me is actually Jesse's version of Man Walks Among Us.
Yes, from our album.
from your album. Let's listen to that right now.
Warm are the winds on the desert. A whirlwind is dancing around. I stop to survey all the beauty that's here when a shadow moves out across the ground. It's an eagle that circles above me, and he screams to his friends on the hill. Stay close together, move not a feather. Man walks among us, be still, be still. Man walks among us, be still. Everything hides, but I see them. I spotted an old mother quail. I look close and see God looking at me through the eyes of a young cottontail. I see a coyote sneaking as he crawls through the brush on the hill. And the eagle screams down, stay close to the ground. Man walks among us, be still, be still. Man walks among us, be still. 20 feet high in the side of a cactus, I see a hole where the butcher bird stays. If mortals could choose, and if heaven should ask us, here's where I'd want to spend all of my days. Soon will be gone all the desert, and cities will cover each hill. Today will just be a fond memory. Man walks among us, be still, be still. Man walks among us, be still.
That is so beautiful and tender.
It is.
Wow. And Rich O'Brien, the master of the Western guitar, he's our producer, and he brings me to tears all the time. Just the beauty of what he plays. He ministers with that guitar.
Yes, he does. And I do want to talk about Rich a little bit, but first, one of the things that I really love about your involvement with the Cowtown Opry, and first, just briefly explain to all of our listeners what goes on with the Cowtown Opry down at the Fort Worth Stockyards.
Yeah, well, it's pretty unique, and what's funny is they named it the Cowtown Opry before I was ever involved. It's really not a classic Opry, because that's usually in a theater with a paid admission, and but kids are usually mentored through an Opry system. That it does have its place, but ours is different because we're Western and we don't do country. We do cowboy and Western, and we do Western swing, Janet McBride is involved in helping teach the kids to yodel, those that want to. And so that's really fun. And she also helps them with simple guitar chordings. And when they're, we do encourage them to pick up instruments and try to learn. And if they already are playing, to get better. But we really want them to do Western repertoire. They need to dress and conduct themselves on stage in a Western style. So we have dress code, and everybody wears the same thing. You know, it's easy to obtain. It's classic cowboy. It's the long sleeve white shirt with the blue jeans or blue denim skirt if a girl wants to. Hats, boots, red bandana. And then we do it once a month. The kids gather, and we'll be. It's usually second Sunday. By the way, Cowtown Opry is online, and you can check out our schedule because we have shows every Sunday. They're free of charge to the public. It's at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and the website is cowtownopry.org. It's a 501c3 that's existed since the early 90s, and I got involved in 96 and 97 with Chuck, my husband and I. Very quickly, Gene Marlowe, the founder, asked me to start the Sunday shows as a mentoring. We called it the Cowtown Opry Club. Now we call them the Cowtown Opry Saddle Pals, which is the adults, and the Buckaroos are the kids, and they have to be under 18. Yeah. So they can be as young as they want to start. I mean, parents have to be dedicated, too, because they bring them.
Yes.
Right now we've got a couple of them that are 8 years old and one 9-year-old fiddle boy who's just wonderful coming up. And Leah Sawyer, who's been at the WMA, she's got great tone and wonderful drive, and she's 13 on her fiddle. And she sings and she writes songs. Mickey Daniel just graduated from the Buckaroo Club. She just turned 18, and she's already a Western star. Kristen Harris is a couple years ahead of Mickey. She just won the Female Performer of the Year.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
She did.
The youngest person ever to win Female Performer.
Yes. It's amazing. Delightful. Well, it's an amazing program that you guys have going there. And I wanted to talk just a little bit. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we helped mentor Casey Musgrave, who just, walked off with every award that country music can offer, the CMA.
Yes.
But she had her yodeling and her Texas roots well in place from, age 8, 9, 10, 11. When she turned 14, she was pretty much already getting out there and traveling with Miranda Lambert, because they're all from the same part of Texas. And we didn't see much of her. But she came back right on her 18th birthday and did one show with us as a bow, you know, that she was graduating as a Buckaroo. So anyway.
That's sweet.
Right.
And I love how you spoke about Kristen and how she had her life kind of hit a bump and her folks split up and you just really took her in as a mom. And I mean, just your giving heart, and she really attributes a lot of her focus and her groundedness to your influence. And I think that's just wonderful. And she's just a soaring star in Western music right now. We're just so proud of
lovely.
Her.
Lovely. Sweetheart girl. And I just pretty much have to say she's my goddaughter. I mean, she is, because that's another god thing in my life. Chuck and I always wanted a girl, and now we got one.
Now you got one. And then the three of you teamed up with the amazing Rich O'Brien his little nickname or moniker is Badger. And I love it. You guys team up as Badger and the Bells, which I think is adorable. And the next song that we're going to listen to is a collaboration of Badger and the Bells. And it's called How
it's
Long Has It Been?
Precious.
How long has it been since you've talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secret?
Wow.
The incomparable Rich O'Brien. He truly
yeah.
is one of the most extraordinary men that I've ever worked with. And I was very honored that he produced my latest album. And boy, what a fabulous experience in the studio it was working with him. And and you and Kristen came and hung out and kept us all in line.
I remember you did Blessed Trails. I think Blessed Trails you did here too.
I did, but he wasn't producing it. He
oh, he
wasn't? Played on it at that point. No, he wasn't producing it. Tommy also produced that album, but oh my gosh.
That's great. Tommy, I've performed with him. He's great.
Yeah, he is. But oh my gosh, it was just Rich. Working with Rich is what a wonderful Christian man. You know, he just brings all of that to the table in such an understated but strong way. And it's really a delight to work with him.
And don't get into punning.
Oh my gosh.
He's one of the best punters. I could go on for a while.
He could go on for a long time doing that. Yeah, his sense of humor is pretty cute. It really is. Well, the next song that we are going to listen to is The Wild Stick Horse Remuda, which is a song that you wrote with Deborah Coppinger Hill, right?
Yes.
And can you tell us set this song up?
Yes. Deborah brought me this long poem, and it was her memory of her childhood and her papa, her grandfather, who actually engendered her great love of horses. She is a cutting horse breeder and trainer, and she produces fine horses in Chelsea, Oklahoma area on her ranch. And she does varied, she calls it a varied band, and that phrase made it into the song. But anyway, she had this beautiful long poem, and she asked to make it a song. Well, we had to trim a lot of material out of the poem to get it to fit into a song, and even then it was too long. And when I went to record it with Rich O'Brien, he said, "You need to cut another verse out of this song." So the final version you hear is the bare bones version, but it's a precious story of how important the elders are to engendering love of the West and faith in the kids. And she remembers her papa and how he made her stick horses. He had quite a few. She had a whole Remuda of them, all different kinds of wood, and she named them all, and she was 4 years old. This is a delightful memory
it's
of her.
Precious, it's a wonderful song, and it doesn't feel bare bones, so I would love to see the poem sometime. But this is, so let's listen to Wild Stick Horse Remuda.
Peppa's knee, watching as he whittled on old branches from a tree, while he talked to cowboys and big old Texas ranches. He dreamed away the rough fox, while I dreamed of pony dancing. A wild stick horse Remuda began to run and play with every loving stroke. He peeled the bark away. He was using his old timer and carving in my brain the best that he could find and cut and shape with his own hands. Now, each of them was special, and I felt that I was too, as they kicked up dust behind this cowgirl buckaroo. Remuda and
remember he defied my mama when he bought me those red cowgirl boots.
Sometimes you have to let things go. Sometimes you stand and fight. And anything worth doing is still worth doing right. Often when I wondered what I'd do on down life's road, he'd sit there and look at me and say, little girl, when you get there, you're gonna know. To try to live up to the honor of the wonder days gone by. And my wild stick horse, Bermuda, was quite the very best. Born and bred with me in mind and trained by his own hand. I'm longing for the legends and the way we used to roam with the wild stick horse.
Oh, that is so sweet. Oh my gosh.
We enlisted the help of a 4-year-old that was known to Rich and the studio crew and brought that little guy in to say that. I love you, Papa.
Oh my gosh, that just brings tears to my eyes every time I hear that. It's just
precious.
So, well, I cannot believe how fast this hour is flying by. Hour-ish. Thank God this is an online radio show, so we don't have to stick rigidly to an hour. So, but we are needing to close out kind of this segment of the show with you, Devin. And oh my gosh, just, but before
this
we do, we're going to be closing with a great song that you wrote, I think, or co-wrote, "Keeping Your Head Above Water." But before I have you tell us about that song. Would like you to tell us what you have coming up. And if people want to get a hold of you or get their hands on any of your music, what is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the website is the best way. Just plain laziness, I've never yet uploaded to CD Baby, and I have every intention of doing that soon. But anyway, you can just contact us. Yeah, really, through Miss Devon and theoutlaw.com. And that you spell my name, Devon, and you spell out and the... And outlaw, I guess everybody knows how to spell outlaw. So that is the website that pretty much is handling both Keeping Your Head Above the Water, which is my CD from 2007, and our current release, the debut CD for the duo, which is called Where in the Dickens Are You? Man Walks Among Us came off that one. The song you're fixing to hear is a title cut of my own CD. This song, you ever had that feeling when you hear a story, your heart just turns over inside of you, and that's God's way of telling you, you got to write this down. This is a song.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah.
I totally understand that.
My friend Garlene Tyndall Paris, who was a world champion junior trick rider in the 1930s until she got polio, and her career ended by the age of 14 because of that. But she's quite an amazing person, and she's in her 80s now. But she was telling me about this horse that her dad had owned, and her father had passed away. In 1949, a huge flood hit Fort Worth, Texas. It was the worst disaster of the city during the 20th century. It was the second or third major flood, but it was the worst one. And it came up so fast, a lot of animals in the stockyards, the big Fort Worth stockyards, which was at its peak in 1947 to 49, they couldn't get all the animals out. So there was a lot of carnage. You know, animals drowned. The water came up, let me get this right, 24 feet in 18 hours. And that is a flood. There was a single levee at the time, and it went around. It broke the levee. They later constructed a double levee, and it has controlled the Trinity ever since, along with the dams upstream and everything. But anyway, it was a disaster. And my husband was 4 years old, and he remembers it. They went and looked at there's this famous photograph of the Montgomery Ward's building that was like 7 stories tall, up to the second floor in water. On all of Northside, Fort Worth was inundated. So this one horse survived in the Fort Worth stockyards. It was a big paint horse owned by Darlene's father. He died, and the horse was in retirement. He'd been his top horse. Lewis Tindall was a 6'1" Roman rider, a 10-time world champion, and Lad was his favorite horse. He was a big paint horse, needed a big horse to handle a guy that size, and but you know, he hadn't done his tricks in years, and one of his tricks had been a big crowd pleaser at the Cowtown Coliseum and all the rodeos. They'd go to Madison Square Garden and all. Lad was able to go up on his hind legs, you know, up in the elevated position and stay up there. He had a really strong back, and Lewis had trained him. He could go around the whole arena that way without dropping.
Wow.
He was really, really strong. And so, but the horse hadn't done that in years, and it was that trick that saved his life when all these other animals around him were dying and being swept. He was in his stall, imprisoned in his stall. When the waters came up, he went up, and for 3 days he had to keep in the elevated position with his hooves up there against his stall wall and to keep breathing. Yeah, and when I heard that, and I read the story in the Star-Telegram, it just struck me like a thunderbolt that God wanted me to write that song, because it was such a lesson. It's such a lesson. It may sound trite, oh, keep your head above the water, you'll keep breathing, but deep down at the bones of it, God is your lifeline. He's the one that keeps you breathing. And sometimes in life, everything will overwhelm you, and you can just focus on one thing, just to keep one foot in front of the other and keep breathing, because God is there with you, and He will get you through it one way or another.
Oh, God, I so relate to that. Well,
you can.
Yes, I can. And so I just want to thank you so much for being with us, Devin. This has been delightful, and I can't believe how fast this hour went by. But
thank you so much, Belinda.
And we'll have to have you on again. There's so many things that we never even touched on to talk about that I had on my list. So we will have to have you back on, and we can get into some of these other things. But in the meantime, thank you, sweet sister, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, it's been our pleasure, definitely. And we're going to close out this segment with Devin with Keeping Your Head Above the Water.
Saw the market tumble into the
soon. Acting on instructions, he read his pontoon. He was treading water, but he stood on solid ground. Trusting in the good Lord, till pretty soon he found that life brings you problems and floods you with storms. It's nothing you can't handle, you just grab them by the horns. Long as you are breathing, reaching up for the rail, standing on your haunches, you ain't gonna fail if you're keeping your head above the water. Don't get in a panic if it ups your neck. You do well to remember what old lad and Noah did. When others belly up, you'll sit and persevere instead. If you're keeping your head above the water,
many thanks to sweet Miss Devin Dawson and the message of that song, Keeping Your Head Above the Water. And it kind of ties in with the scripture that I've chosen for today, in so much as we do not have to do this alone. We do not have to strive to keep our head above the water alone. And the water being life's travails to temptations falling into sin when we don't mean to, and sometimes we just are not paying attention, and so many things can come against us to derail us in our walk with the Lord. But he just so graciously and mercifully and kindly sent his son to make it possible for us to rise out of that and not be stuck in that, and to keep our heads above the water. And in Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ." So I just encourage you to stay in the Lord through this busy Christmas season, and don't let it overwhelm you. You start feeling overwhelmed, just find a quiet spot, get in the Word, and get refocused on what the season is really all about. And just continue to wish you a very happy holidays and merry, merry Christmas this year. And we're going to close out with the traditional Christmas medley off of our Christmas album, Our First Noel. And until next week, this is Belinda Gale with Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply. fly, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. He rules the world with truth and grace,
and makes the nations rule.
The glories of his righteousness
and wonders of his love, and wonders